interview on our election system. For now, this is Mark Levine signing off.
This is the Quality News Network. In Afghanistan, Taliban militants have killed their first hostage. The body of a South Korean man shot 10 times has been found. South Korean news agency Yonhap is reporting that 8 hostages have been released. 14 hostages still remain. In Baghdad, 2 suicide car bombs struck a crowd of Iraqis celebrating their national soccer team's victory in the Asian Cup Games. At least 60 people have been killed and more than 100 are injured. In Britain, forecasts of more rain are further threatening large regions of central and western England, which has already experienced the worst flooding in 60 years. Today, Oxford residents were evacuated as the River Thames continued to flood its banks. Meanwhile, in southern and eastern Europe, a recent heat wave has killed hundreds. Temperatures have soared to triple digits, fueling wildfires from Italy to Macedonia. Today, a federal judge ordered Sudan to pay almost $8 million to the families of 17 sailors who were killed in the attack of the USS Cole in 2000. The funds will be extracted from Sudan's assets frozen by the U.S. For the first time, a delegation from the Arab League is visiting Israel. The mission today by Egyptian and Jordanian foreign ministers is aimed at encouraging resumption of Middle East peace talks, which include concessions for the Palestinian territories. On Capitol Hill, House Democrats say 2 White House aides do not have immunity from testifying. Contempt of Congress charges will have passed a Judiciary Committee vote and will continue on to the full House. The White House says former legal counsel Harriet Myers and Chief of Staff Josh Bolton are protected by executive privilege. In eastern Afghanistan, a German journalist and his translator have been kidnapped. The men were attempting to reach a village to investigate civilian deaths in a recent NATO airstrike. In San Francisco, a federal judge has rejected attorney's request to throw out the lawsuit from 5 states concerning the Bush administration's warrantless wiretapping program. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is expected to rule on the cases next month. French President Nicolas Sarkozy arrived in Libya today to discuss improved relations between the Arab state and the European Union. This comes after Monday night's release of Bulgarian medics from a Tripoli prison. Bulgaria says it's considering forgiving Libya's international debts. And in Manhattan, a federal judge has approved class action status for thousands of New Yorkers arrested for panhandling. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
Terry's Lounge at the Cypress Inn in downtown Carmel invites you to a great evening of your favorite foods, beverages, and live music Thursday through Saturday, featuring Dick Whittington and friends from 6 to 9:30. Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn features an appetizer-sized menu and our famous burger, salad, and fries. Afternoon tea, a great local tradition, is served from 1 to 4 p.m. daily by reservation. Sunday evenings are special as Richard Divnick entertains from 5 to 8 p.m. with classical renditions of pop, jazz, and classical music. Join the fun, food, and music at Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn, corner of Lincoln and 7th. In downtown Carmel.
A Senate panel today is expected to approve a measure placing tobacco under the auspices of the FDA. Several changes in practice may be built into the legislation, including the placement of graphic warnings on cigarette boxes. Also today, Disney has announced that it will ban the depiction of smoking in its family-oriented films. Marine biologists say jumbo squid are invading central California waters to prey upon commercial fisheries, endangering those fishery stocks. The huge squid are usually found only in warm equatorial waters. Listen to the voice of the earth. That is the Pope's new message to followers according to the transcript of a closed-door meeting released today. The pontiff, who is the leader of over 1 billion Roman Catholics, is encouraging people to protect the earth and prevent climate change. According to an in-house investigation, more than 29,000 registered sex offenders have profiles on social networking site MySpace.com. The website used by many children has deleted the offenders' accounts. China says police raided two criminal organizations accused of pirating $500 million worth of software worldwide. Beijing says the busts were the result of 2 years' investigation by Chinese police and the FBI. Light sweet crude is trading at $75.88 a barrel. Wall Street is now closed. The Dow is up 50 points. The NASDAQ is up 8. The S&P 500 is up 7. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Reed Kaffner.
Okay! Don't you!
South America!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Well, there you have it. Damn, sounds like the end of a show, doesn't it? No, it's the beginning. It's the beginning, all right. And there you have it. Yesterday, it became abundantly clear via the Senate Judiciary Committee that the sitting Attorney General of the United States, Alberto Torture Boy Torquemada Fredo Gonzalez, is a sitting Attorney General who is also a felon, a perjurer, a prevaricator, a liar. That's the word I'm waiting for, a liar. I'm waiting for a senator to look him in the eye and say, "You, sir, are a liar," and then watch him duck his little head and smirk instead of staring straight back and saying, "No, I am not," because he can't say that. Now, this is, of course, Wednesday. You know what Wednesday means.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Damn straight, it's prayer meeting. Hallelujah. Praise something or another. Put your hands upon your subwoofer and feel the healing, the healing waves of common sense flow through your bones. But there you have it. Yesterday, Fredo Gonzalez taken out in the rowboat by Chuck Schumer. Busted. Stone cold busted. And today, Harriet Myers and Josh Bolton busted. Stone cold busted by the House Judiciary Committee. You know, I watched those proceedings. I don't have any sound of it from you. It was really the sort of a non-event, really. John Conyers, who frustrates me, if you were listening last night, you know that. He frustrates me because he won't actively pursue impeachment. But maybe doing something that is, you know, you got to hope. A guy's got to hang on to some kind of hope. Maybe doing something that you and I, in our urge, our yearning, our desperate fear for the well-being of the Constitution, you know, we want him to come out in a full frontal assault. But John Conyers today in this vote on contempt, in this hearing, was jovial, jocular. Oh, he was being all shucks, nice to the other side. I'll recognize the gentleman from California as long as he doesn't reference the fact that he was once Attorney General. Ha 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 ha. Oh, it was just so civil. And the reptilicans, the repiglicans, kept blustering. "We're not getting any work done here. We need to be working. Oh my God, we need to be working on the gang violence and Al Qaeda and Jesus, the drugs. What about the drugs? We, oh." Yeah, meanwhile, keeping anyone from getting to those things by trying to stave off the inevitable with the vote of contempt. And you wonder if John Conyers has just been at it for so long that he's just going about his business ever so quietly. Ever so stealthily. So that people like Harriet Myers and Josh Bolton and perhaps Fredo Gonzalez and maybe even the president and vice president themselves won't even realize that the stiletto is deep into their lungs before it's already gotten there. I get the idea John Conyers could do that. So, you know, I'll maintain a little bit of hope. But there you have it. Yesterday, Fredo Torture Boy Gonzalez, slowly simmering in his own pan juices. And today, Harriet Myers and Josh Bolton. There you have it. And so, consequently, I am required by law to read this to you. Airport security officers around the nation have been alerted by federal officials to look out for terrorists practicing to carry explosive components onto aircraft based on four curious seizures at airports since last September. Be afraid, America! Be afraid! Your attorney general is a felon. Harriet Myers is a scofflaw. Josh Bolton wipes his rear end with the Constitution every day. George Bush pees on it. Yeah. And they're practicing for another 9/11. The unclassified alert. Wait a minute, it's an unclassified alert? Oh, God, you know, I don't want to believe my country operates like this. I don't want to believe my government operates like this, but I know who's running the government. The unclassified alert was distributed on July 20th. 20th? 20th? It's the 25th. Oh, they could have practiced 19 dozen 9-11s between then and now. Oh, Jesus, somebody get... I'm getting under the table. The unclassified alert was distributed on July 20th by the Transportation Security Administration to federal air marshals, its own transportation security officers, and other law enforcement agencies. Of course, I got this over at a right-wing news website. So it has this after that. Editor's note, be prepared for terror with an emergency radio. Homeland Security says every home should have one. Get our free offer, emergency radio. Click here now. Oh, you know, if they weren't so damn dangerous, you could get your daily dose of comedy just right off of any website funded by Richard Mellon Scaife. The seizures at airports, oh, but it's a Ginsu commercial. But wait, there's more. The seizures at airports in San Diego, Milwaukee, Houston, and Baltimore included, quote, wires, switches, pipes or tubes, cell phone components, and dense clay-like substances. Wait for it. Everybody, please, please, sit down. Sit down. This is too. I swear you'll fall over. You will. You know, you're not a weeble. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. This will knock you on your rear end. Sit down. Backing up. Cell phone components and dense clay-like substances, including block cheese, the bulletin said. The 13-paragraph bulletin was posted on the internet by NBC Nightly News, which first reported the story. Security officers were urged to keep an eye out for ordinary items that look like improvised explosive device components. TSA spokeswoman Ellen Howe said on Tuesday, there's no credible specific threat here. Don't panic. We do these things all the time. Block cheese. Now, bear in mind, one of the airports that was surveyed in this effort, if you can call it that,
was Milwaukee. Holy mackerel, Milwaukee. Cheese, it's what's for dinner.
Including block cheese.
What, they're going to hit 40,000? Hello, I am a terrorist for Al-Qaeda. I have this very large wedge of Wisconsin cheddar, and I will ignite it and make you all very gooey. And you know how it is when you're eating a pizza and you bite it before it is cooled and the mozzarella burns the roof of your mouth? I will do that to all of you if you do not fly this plane into the Pentagon. All of you! Allahu Akbar!
Isn't this a bit much? I mean, just because the heat is on Fredo Gonzalez, and just because Harriet Myers will soon run the risk of the sergeant-at-arms from the House of Representatives taking a few members of the Capitol Police and going and putting her in irons and, you know, keeping her locked in the ladies' room of the we got to have this. Oh, by the way, that line about about the TSA, the unusual nature and increase in number of these improvised items raise concern. Homeland Security spokesman Russ Naki described the notice as the latest copy of a routine informational bulletin for TSA workers, airport employees, and law enforcement officials. The TSA has confirmed that a routine TSA intelligence bulletin relating to suspicious incidents at U.S. airports had leaked to news organizations. TSA spokeswoman Ellen Howe said, "Don't panic, we do these things all the time." Well, yeah, they do. In fact, they do things all the time like maintaining a no-fly list. And as a consequence of that no-fly list, Michael Martin cannot fly without a big old honking hassle, because Michael Martin's name is on the terrorist no-fly list. I never knew that Michael Martin was the alias of some member of Al-Qaeda. Did you? No. But sure enough, Michael Martin cannot get on an airplane without going through everything short of a body cavity search. And it's been happening to Michael Martin since 9/11. The problem? Well, the problem is that Michael Martin is 3 feet 9 inches tall and weighs 55 pounds because he's 7 years old! And he has been stopped on the no-fly list since 9/11. Let's see, 2006. Since he was 1! Since he was unable to hold up his own head! Since before he had a mouth full of teeth! Since before he had kneecaps! Every time this happens, his mommy, Krista Martin, has to go all the way back to check-in and get him a boarding pass. And they have to go through an exasperating hazing ritual. Interestingly, if you go to TSA.gov, you will find that children being on a no-fly list is listed at TSA.gov as a myth. The word myth is in quotes. Interesting, isn't it? Now, if you recall, we did the story a month or so ago of the woman who had a toddler in a stroller with a sippy cup who got treated like common trash and was made to crawl on the floor and sop up spilled water from the sippy cup by a power-crazed member of the TSA. So Still, Michael Martin, this according to a news article from the Orlando Sentinel. Still, Michael Martin, the child, most recently ran into problems on July 3rd when his mother booked a flight on AirTran Airways to Baltimore for vacation. After a kiosk refused to spit out a boarding pass, she asked an airline agent if there was a problem. Quote, "She made a funny face and said, 'Oh, he's on a no-fly list,' Mrs. Martin said. They looked at him and immediately realized he was only 7. Boy, you cannot beat the observational powers of the Transportation Security Administration. They looked at him and immediately realized he was 7. They realized that he was not a member of the crack-dreaded Al-Qaeda midget corps, conveniently dressed in kids' clothing. Be afraid, America. Be very afraid. There are Arabs flying all over this country carrying wedges of cheddar, Edam, Gouda, Longhorn, Swiss, feta, even the mozzarella that's packed in the liquid stuff that oh my God, that could be liquid, oh, that could be nitroglycerin surrounding a wad of, oh, C4! Oh! All because Harriet Myers and Josh Bolton were found to be in contempt of Congress. Holy cats. Do you believe this? Now, see, if you look at the timing, well, Bob, you know, I mean, this alert went up. It went up on the 20th. How can you say that, that it's about Fredo Gonzalez and Harriet Myers? Isn't that just a little bit out there, Bob? I mean, isn't that just a little bit black helicopter tinfoil hat for even you, Bob? How long have these freaks known? By freaks, I mean the Bush administration, known that this showdown was coming. How long have they known? Has it been since the 20th of July? Why, yes. Yes, it has. Would Karl Rove or Dick Cheney or any member of this administration deliberately try to terrify the American people in order to keep a story such as this off the news? Would they? You're damn right they would. So it's 22, almost 23 minutes after the hour. I want to know what you think about this. 304-658-5453 is the number. Toll free, it's 877-443-2366. This is the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I can see.
And again, I was talking about the Republican debate. So we'll get to the point where we're going to drag a terrorist out to the stage with the Republicans, and they're all going to take turns kicking him in the nuts and see who the audience cheers for the most. That's going to determine who's going to be the Republican candidate. And that's what they are. Kick him in the nuts. How do they do that on South Park? Rochambeau. They're going to Rochambeau the terrorists.
Come on, rub my nipples while I torture this little piggy.
No, that sounds pretty sweet to me.
The Cup of Joe radio show with your host, Joe Vecchio, the working man's thinking man. Moving to 11 a.m. to noon, June 18th, right here on America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to IRS.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's IRS.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484.
Agnes. She is horn. 28 minutes past the hour. I'm Bob, and let's see, straight to the phones, and we'll talk to Gene, our good friend, our chief news ninja out in Oregon. Hey, Gene, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
Oh, not bad. I was going to ask you, though, aren't Arabs lactose intolerant? I mean, that cheese could be more deadly than you think.
Oh, see, now they're going to be boarding planes as masquerading as Green Bay Packer fans with the big wedge of cheese on their heads.
Anyway,
I am liking that Brett Favre very much. He is a backing of quarters. Allah Akbar.
Actually, he called about something else, but since his prayer meeting, and I think a year ago or so, he said we were also a think tank. So I've been doing some thinking.
Okay.
And
well, that's okay, because I'm in the tank.
Let's hope not. Anyway, well, given the fact that Bush has gone ahead and outlawed protests and all that stuff, I was thinking eventually we're going to have to fight there and, well, confront these folks on some level. So I was thinking, well, maybe we should take it back to the churches, because I listened to Peter and how the how the right wing kind of creeps into, you know, different churches, you know, from...
And they do.
The Baptist to the Methodist, da-da-da. And so I was thinking, you know, maybe we should start, you know, kind of getting in there ourselves. And I mean, we can argue about doctrine, and I know there's already people that do that, but I was wondering specifically, you know, they've got all this money from the faith-based initiatives. Somebody ought to check and see if they're using it wisely.
They really should, and theoretically, I guess the GAO would be the ones to do that. But you know, the question is whether you can get an honest answer from the GAO now.
Yeah. So, you know, I just think that maybe we should.
Well, see, the problem, Gene, to be brutally honest about all of this, is that because, well, let's see. Let me try to make this as sensible as possible. Corporations that are publicly traded have to put out tons and tons of data,
mm-hmm.
in order to remain in compliance with the law, so that people aren't out there getting defrauded of their you know, retirement pension money, whatever.
Yeah.
So they put out, you know, the prospectuses and reams of data that, you know, I start reading it and my eyes cross, but you know, CPAs start reading it and it's like porn to them, you know.
Yeah.
They get all excited. My God, look at the profit-to-earnings ratio. Jesus, I've never... You know, that kind of thing. The reason for Bush, you know, this has nothing to do with faith. This has nothing to do with doing God's work on earth.
Oh, I know.
This is bunko, okay? If you go back to old cop lingo, this is a bunko act, because what happens is when you give money to these faith-based initiatives, they're all 501c3s. And 501c3s can conceal their financial doings with a lot more impunity than a publicly traded corporation can.
Oh, I expected that. And see, what I was thinking was basically to get people, a group of people, to go through, get together and go into the churches themselves and fight it out in front of the congregations.
Oh, wouldn't that be lovely?
And,
yeah,
and,
go to the Sunday night business meeting.
Yeah, and bring it to their attention. I mean, I think of our good friend Peter, and how you know, he's thinking about leaving the Methodist Church. I guess he already has. I missed last night's show, so I don't really know. But you know, if we could get him and or anyone, a bunch of nice liberal or even atheistic Christians together, and just kind of go back and take back the churches and actually fight it out, because you know, we often bring to light about the ministers and how they're all sexual deviants, which a lot of them are, but we don't really, unless it's Pat Robertson, we really don't talk about the money, or at least I haven't heard that much of it. It's not your fault, I haven't really researched it either. I just, you know, I think it ought to be put out there.
Well, I think it should too, and I think it would be that'd be a brilliant project for some. You'd have to have a nexus, literally, of forensic CPAs and really mean trial lawyers, because the only way you could get this stuff is via lawsuits.
Oh yeah.
And compelled production under rules of discovery. But it would be worth doing it. Frankly, it would be worth doing it just from the standpoint of making the faith-based organizations come out and come into the sunshine and out from, you know, slither out from under their rocks. The problem, though, Gene, is that might have been the front end of what was being attempted with the taxpayer status lawsuit against the faith-based initiatives that was shot down by the Supreme Court on the same day that they shot down bong hits for Jesus.
Yeah, that's true too. But I still think if we actually went into the church themselves and argued it that way, I mean, that, you know, I'm separating the churches out from the faith-based organizations. That way, the churches would say to the faith-based organizations, "Hey, we don't want you here. You're making us lose members."
You're seeing some of that begin to happen, exactly what you're describing, Gene. You know, there's no love lost between me and the Southern Baptist Convention. But there is a growing element of progressives who are determined not to be run from their churches, especially Southern Baptist churches. They're not going to be run, and they're finally standing up and fighting back.
Yeah.
And so I think you're sort of on the cutting edge out there. You're in front with the idea, because you're going to see more and more of this as the backlash happens. It's the ongoing debate that happens on this program and others, Gene, as to whether or not the Bush administration and the religious right and all of its various and sundry cronies are dumb street punks or evil geniuses. These people didn't, Karl Rove talked about creating a Republican majority that would last 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
They did not consider, they're like an army that just marches off onto the field of battle with no plans for what happens if something goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, it's like a suicide mission.
Yeah. So, well, that was, basically why I called, because I was thinking, we'd really, if we're not allowed to protest in the street, fine, we'll, because I'm thinking, The Republicans make no bones about the fact that they use the laws that we set out initially for as good laws for protection to turn them around and use them against people.
Mm-hmm.
And I just would like to see the same thing.
Well, I think you may. And at that point, you get to look at everybody and go, "Hey, I'm a visionary."
Great. Well, I'll...
Visionaries, by the way, are not paid, Gene.
I know. Oh well.
Oh, neither are geniuses or far.
Well,
that's the problem.
It's part of that 1,000 points of like volunteerism that I was talking about.
Exactly, Gene. So good to talk to you, my friend.
See you on.
Have a wonderful evening.
Bye bye.
Bye now. And let's talk to Bob. Hey, Bob. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
How you doing?
A little cheesy of you, wasn't it?
I was cheesy of me.
Yes.
On more, in more ways than one.
I know, and you enjoyed it.
Way too much. If I'd had handy a clip of Monty Python's Cheese Shop, I would have played that too.
Hey, guess what?
What's that?
We're on the up. We're on the upswing. It's kind of like the, Damocles sword?
Yeah.
Hey, we're on the upswing, or was that something else? One of them sets of several balls that go boing, 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 and you're living in the room until you go nuts? Huh?
Yeah.
You just start one swinging, and they keep swinging until you go nuts.
When I was a little boy, they had one of those things in the department store downtown, and Mom and Dad would go shopping, and I would just stand enwrapped. And, maybe they should have realized right then it was time to take me to the doctor, because I was subject to obsessive-compulsive disorder, because I would just sit there while...
Bob. While
Mom and Dad were shopping hours, I could just whack, 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 whack,
I know it's hot down there. Yeah?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. How are you?
Oh, I'm dandy.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah. Actually, it's cooled off some. It's actually been down in the 50s at night here, so...
Okay. Did you keep the windows open then?
No, I'm still... Well, yeah, some.
Somewhat.
Yeah. Gotta come. I'm obsessed with having moving air blowing over me in my sleep.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
You're always kind of hyper,
Yes, I am.
Yeah, well, hey. What was that they did that?
That's what beer is for, Bob. That's.
Don't be afraid. Fear is the mind killer.
It is indeed. It is
and
indeed.
If you allow yourself to be afraid, then you have allowed your mind to be destroyed. So do not.
That's why I make fun of this stuff, Bob, because I refuse to be subjected to this kind of dummied up bunko fear.
Absolutely.
And if we and laughter is literally the best medicine. You could stand and scream at George Bush all day long if you had the opportunity. It wouldn't faze him. But the minute you started laughing at him, that is what cuts him to the quick. That's when he realizes that he's losing.
Thank you. Because, hey, you only laugh at a monkey, right? Hey, you go to the zoo to see a monkey fly, and the monkeys can't fly. They can't walk. They can't talk. They can't do nothing. They're just in a cage, right?
Yeah.
And guess what? George Bush and the boys on Capitol Hill are in a cage right now. They really are, Bob.
Oh, yeah, and that's...
You and I are the only two human beings on this planet that are truly free. You are free to speak to me. I am free to speak to you. And who is stopping us?
So far, no one.
Yeah, they can't stop freedom of speech and freedom of thought. They can stop freedom of belief. All they got to do is get a Dobson or one of them monkey right-wingers out there that's got more... I was going to say something nasty, but I'm not going to do it, okay? You know, more things in the fire than, you know, or more things in the... down there in Louisiana, down there in the whorehouse or something. You know, they got them things. They got them stuck everywhere, but they ain't got them. They ain't even got them back in their own pants. They can't control their own urges, Bob. They have this desperate need to take over everything and destroy anything decent. You know?
Yeah.
They have to.
And they're and really, really, Bob, that's the point. They are a humorless bunch.
They're also a soulless bunch. They have no real belief or real faith. You know, I have faith in you, son. I really do. I have faith in Agnes. I have faith in Head On Radio Network. I have faith in you. Because you know what? I know you have courage, and they have none. You have strength in numbers of people that love you and just love to hear your voice on the Internet. See, I even threw out that one, the Internet. You know, it's only one Internet, right. But...
You have to put the definite article "the" in front of Google. Now you have to call it the Google because Dear Leader has decided it's the Google. I licked it to Google.
Hey Bob, you remember
Richard Nixon's enemies list?
Oh yes, I do.
Think for a minute that George Bush and Karl Rove and Dick Cheney and that crowd don't maintain one as well. And you know, back when Richard Nixon had his enemies list. Who was way, way, way up top of the enemies list was, remember Jack Anderson?
Bob.
Okay.
I have a certificate signed by Richard M. Nixon.
Okay, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, work with
I
me
really
here.
Do.
I know you do. I'm trying to make a point here.
Yeah, I know you are.
Okay,
Wait.
Jack Anderson, who was a real live, honest to God investigative journalist.
Mm-hmm.
Was way high up on Richard Nixon's enemies list because Jack Anderson was pumping out on a daily basis facts, and he was showing exactly what a criminal regime the Nixon administration was. So as a result, he earned a high place on Nixon's enemies list. Well, we have almost no, and there was a study on this not too long back, we have almost no investigative journalists left in America anymore.
Yeah.
Because they're not to be had, not to be tolerated, under our conglomeratized media ownership structure. So the point that I'm trying to make is, to the same extent that Nixon had an enemies list that had Jack Anderson at the top of the list, you want to bet who's at the top of George Bush and Karl Rove and Dick Cheney's enemies list? I'll tell you. No, I bet you number one on that enemies list is John Stewart.
No doubt. No doubt. Any
long before you get down the list to Keith Olbermann, it's John Stewart.
Any time that you confront one of these, it was kind of like you know, remember the schoolyard bully?
Yeah, any, right. Yeah.
Okay, and he had his little cadre behind him because they were all afraid of him. Okay,
mm-hmm.
You remember them, Bob? You must remember them. And any time that you confronted the front man, the guy that got out, he was the tough guy, right? And once you punched him in the nose, the rest of them melted away. They disappeared. And then the principal showed up, and he said, "Why did you punch him in the nose? Why did you punch this punk in the nose?" Because, you know, hey, here you are, the guy that has been, you know, you had your lunch money stolen from you. You've had your treasury of the United States of America stolen Yeah, and here you are defending the Constitution of the United States and the people thereof, and the people of the United States are the ones that are melting away because they're not, they don't have the courage of a Bob Kincaid or this old man sitting up here on the high plains to stand and fight. So what will we do, huh? Go to the principal's office or just kick him in the, shin?
Shin.
I was aiming a little higher, but
you were thinking Joe Vecchio territory.
Yeah, I was thinking Joe Vecchio territory. So let's just stand and fight and not give in to the George Bushes of this world or the whatever. Just don't give in. Don't let yourself be afraid. Fear is the mind killer. And hey, that great man, you know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt told us a long time before I was ever born that the only thing that you have to fear is fear itself.
Because nothing that you fear is ever quite as bad
right. As
the fear of it is.
Face your fears and face them daily and say, I'm not afraid of being afraid, and I will not be afraid of you or any other man, woman, or anything on this planet. I'm not afraid that they're going to have another 9/11. I'm not afraid that they maybe tomorrow they'll drop an atomic bomb on my house. I'm not afraid that tomorrow Osama bin Laden may materialize in my living room. I'm not afraid that maybe Alberto Gonzalez will swear out an arrest warrant for me. I'm not afraid. I don't fear them, Bob. And the only thing, don't be afraid. Be afraid of your own fear and then stop being afraid and think, I have a beautiful woman with me here. Yep. I have a beautiful family. I have a wonderful nation. I have a great and beautiful planet. What can I do to save my beautiful
family? Well, this is a message that has to get out, Bob, because I want to share something with you.
Okay.
This Transportation Security Administration, cheeseheads of death story that has come out. I received that a link to the story. I found it.
Cheeseheads of death?
Well, yeah, terrorists carrying blocks of cheese, I saw the story myself, and then I also got it from our good friend Timber in North Carolina. And the story he sent me was a link to signonsandiego.com, and it's got a sidebar of comments from people about the story. And let's see, here's
that
one person who says...
Crazy.
Now wait. This is why we have to talk about this, because hopefully it picks up somewhere along the way. One person talks about it, tells two tell four, exponential math.
Yeah.
Here's some comments, though, because you and I have the good common sense not to let these thugs scare us to death. But that's not the way it is in the rest of America. And, we hang out here in the Horn and with normal people, decent people, rational people. And we think that that's the way the rest of the world. It isn't. Just to share with you a little bit of the comments from Sign on San Diego. This is a 33-year-old Gigi Benitez of San Diego, a clothing designer, says, I'm like totally having anxiety over it. The terrorists are trying to do dry runs and it's scary. We don't want to fly, but we have to go on a business trip.
Bob.
I'm not kidding.
No, hey, don't put San Diego with a belly girl.
Okay, let's try Nashville, Tennessee. Self-employed restaurateur and gallery store owner, Christy Schuff, 34 years old. From now on, we're going to have an element of fear, but I feel pretty safe. I can tell airport security officials are trying to make sure our flight is safe.
Bob?
Then there's Emilia Areguin, 53 years old, who's a school district employee, who seems to be taking a bit more of a fatalistic approach to it, Bob, because Emilia Areguin says, it's bound to happen. The terrorists are testing us. I'm glad we don't have our defenses down. I think we're doing all we can at this point. Jesus.
please.
We're doing more than we have to. We're protecting against cheese.
Cheese. Yeah.
You know, I remember the great Warner Brothers cartoon that was a send up of the Honeymooners, where the little mouse that was Alice said,
yeah,
said cheese. I simply adore cheese. Oh, Jesus.
That's why I said that. Hey, early on, you did a beautiful, what do you call it, you know, foray into this, what is it, Alice in through the looking glass, or is this the Mad Hatter's Tea Party you were in?
6 7/8.
Yeah, see, 6 8. It's where we're at, Bob. Now, okay, what was that? Take a deep breath.
Breathe, letting go now.
Breathe.
Letting go.
Let it go. And then you think for just one moment, am I as stupid as they think I am, or am I dumber than they are? And, Bob, we're not. We are not stupid human beings, and we are not chimpanzees.
I'll tell you the truth, Bob. I never had the notion during the Clinton administration that I was smarter than the president.
No. No, absolutely not. You know what, Bob?
But, look.
Funny thing about Bill Clinton. I adored the man. I thought he was the best president this country has had since Abraham Lincoln. To be honest with you, he was better than JFK, except for a few little ticks that he had, like NAFTA and CAFTA and all that other stuff. But, Bob, stop for a moment. He was the most intelligent man that we have had since Abraham Lincoln. And the only thing that Abraham Lincoln ever did that was worthwhile was to sign the Emancipation Proclamation, and he freed tens of thousands, if not millions, of people from slavery. And that was the only thing that Abe Lincoln did right. I mean, the other stuff, it doesn't matter. All of his Gettysburg addresses about all the dead men that he stepped on to get there. The only thing that he did right was to free my black brothers and sisters from slavery and their children and their progeny forever. And the thing is, Bob, the Republican Party, the George Bushes of this world, these filthy Nazi, and I'm saying George Bush and Adolf Hitler and Stalin and Mao and all these dictators have done one thing to take us back into that century, into that degradation of humanity. And they have destroyed the most beautiful city, New Orleans, and the Gulf Coast, and they have put millions, not just a few hundred thousand Iraqis into the grave. Millions of Iraqis and millions of Americans are suffering today because of this George Bush tyranny. And when will we stand like Tom Hartman, Tom Paine, and like George Washington, and say no more George, no more Georges. You know, like they said back in the day, no more Texas, no more Texans. Well, this boy ain't even from Texas. He's from Connecticut or something. I think he's up there in Kenny Bunkport.
A Connecticut cowboy in, yeah.
Yeah, see, he's not
in the people's
even
house.
From Texas, Bob. No. He wasn't
No, you're absolutely right, Bob. I tell you what, I got to grab one more phone call before we get to the top of the hour, though. You know, be unafraid. Help others be unafraid,
yeah,
Bob.
Well, hey, I ain't afraid. I'm just waiting for a gunfight. Come on, I'm not telling you to. I'm telling these boys.
I know, but we're not going to do that.
So I will.
We're not going to invite them to the OK Corral.
I will.
I know you will. That's why
they welcome any day.
I know. I know, Bob. I know.
My geographical location. But hey, Bob, for you and Agnes, peace and love, and to my friends and to everyone on this planet, may we be rid of these filthy fascists, because they're not Republican, they're not Democrat, they're nothing more than neo-Nazis.
And we'll, and you're right, and right, and we will get a little closer to getting rid of them by laughing at them, Bob.
Yes.
And you know that, and I know that. So keep laughing, brother. We got to take, we got to roll on. You take care, all right?
Good for you, and good for Agnes and the kids. Love to you all.
Love you.
And faith, hope, and charity to everyone.
And a belly laugh. Talk to you soon.
Belly laugh. Bye bye.
Bye now. And Teresa in Canada. Hey, Teresa, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Oh, hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Oh, okay. Sounds like things are going to hell in a handcart down there, though.
With cheese.
And Kitty Kaidas and that.
Yeah, with cheese. Kitty Kaida. Oh. can I have that?
You can have it.
Okay, thank you.
I noticed when you were talking about the cheese thing, you did leave one brand off of there that was specifically mentioned by Kyle Olson, a Washington terrorism expert.
Velveeta?
Nope.
Oh.
No, he said, okay, here it is. What you had here were essentially packages that looked a lot like the kinds of things you would see going through if you tried to put a real bomb through, said Kyle Olson. Although a brick of marble cheddar may seem harmless, Olson explained, cheese makes a great security tester because it's similar to materials used in some bombs. But the thing about cheese, it's an excellent stand-in for some very, very sophisticated explosives.
Oh, my God.
This is on the CTV, it's KU website. And then they've got a picture beside it. To my untrained eye, it looks like two half-pound blocks of cheese beside looks like a cell phone charger.
So are they telling us that Teresa, are they telling us that bomb-sniffing dogs can't tell the difference between a hunk of Stilton and a hunk of C4?
Apparently so.
Jesus.
So what about the Swiss?
We're done.
What about the Swiss cheese, though, all those holes?
Yeah, well, okay.
That's so many different.
Or you know, maybe dogs run from Limburger.
Maybe the terrorists might, anyway. This is just unbelievable. I tortured myself the other day by watching a little bit of Bush's little terror thing that he came out with the day after the Democratic debate, and now he's saying, well, I'm sure you probably already talked about most of it, but one particular thing he said was that, quote, the top Al-Qaeda commander in Iraq will not rest until he has attacked the nation's capital, meaning Washington.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Oceans
aren't protecting you, I guess.
Well, you know,
I don't mean to laugh, because it's so, you know, you have to laugh rather than cry.
I know. Well, the thing that just slays me, Teresa, is that this, I mean, I'm reading from the story here. The seizure was described this way. Milwaukee, June 4th.
I even know that Milwaukee is the cheese, isn't it the cheese capital of the...
America.
Of America.
North America, maybe.
I don't even live there.
we
have our own little cheese capital, but no, I was Milwaukee, yeah.
Sure, and it was a person's, what they claim is a U.S. person's carry-on baggage, and it's important to say a U.S. person, not a U.S. citizen, a U.S. person, because all of the new Bushista anti-terrorism legal language always says U.S. person, so it's necessary to say U.S. person's carry-on baggage contained a wire coil wrapped around a possible initiator, an electrical switch, batteries, three tubes, and two blocks of cheese. Okay? You ever seen the cheese that comes wrapped in the netting?
Yes.
Hello?
That could be a grenade. Hey. And if not, if cheese, why not chocolate?
It's a Dill Havarti grenade.
Theory for Swiss bites?
I guess chocolate's got a lower melting temperature, so they didn't have time to slip that. See, what's going to happen, though, Teresa, in all seriousness, in about 2 months, there's going to be a story come out from the GAO, just like we had a couple of weeks ago, that talks about how they infiltrated the transportation security system,
mm-hmm.
and at some airports were able to sneak through bomb-making materials. And then we're going to find out that this is all of this, you know, business about people trying to sneak cheese through wrapped in wires with cell phones strapped to them is GAO.
And bomb,
it's our own people.
Yeah. And bomb-making material, called bomb-making material, that's a very broad definition. I
mean, well, bomb-making material.
Cell phones when they screen
right.
the baggage and everything.
It's cell phones, cell phone parts, cell phone batteries. A Game Boy could be bomb-making material.
Yeah. Or like some of the early IEDs over in Iraq, they were using doorbells.
Mm-hmm. Garage door openers?
Yeah, garage door, anything. But, oh, that's scary.
But, you know, as long as the American people are terrified. And the thing is, you know, you and me and Agnes and all the rest of us, we know better than to live our lives in fear. Our good friend Timber in North Carolina pointed out that more people die of lightning strikes and peanut allergies every year than die of terrorist attacks.
Oh, yeah. Influenza.
Sure. But, you know, but it terrorism doesn't... terrorism affords an opportunity for a government to consolidate power. And exercise power over the mind and over the body and over the soul of its people.
Yeah. And well, of course, having a malleable media like they do, like CNN just fell right into, you know, the terrorists.
Oh, I've got another. I've got a CNN story relating to the debates from a couple of nights ago for the next hour, and I think you'll find that quite interesting.
Oh, looking forward to it.
So, you know, by all means, you know, don't tune away. But it's always good talking to you, Teresa. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Yeah, be careful of that cheese.
Yeah, scared to death of it.
Okay.
We had Teresa, we had macaroni and cheese for dinner. Do you know what that's doing to me?
Oh, God, I had it last night.
See?
I'm scared.
I know.
I've got to go hide.
I know.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye.
Later. We had macaroni and cheese for dinner. I could be a ticking time bomb. Damn. We'll see you later. If we're still here and I haven't blown up during the news. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Without speed, eating sunflower seed, drinking lots of carrot juice and soaking up a rain. Might I have these wonderful dreams, some kind of citrus tree. Not Havanas or bananas or daiquiri, but that American creation of which I feel. Cheeseburger is paradise.
This is the Quality News Network. The Transportation Security Administration has warned airport personnel to be on the alert for terrorists rehearsing attacks aboard commercial aircraft. Officials say phony bomb components have been seized at airports in San Diego, Milwaukee, Baltimore, and Houston. Another Democratic plan will be proposed next week that would begin bringing U.S. troops out of Iraq in November. Representative John Murtha says Republicans will get behind this bill because of increasing frustration among voters over the lack of progress in Iraq. In Baghdad, two suicide car bombs killed dozens of Iraqis as they celebrated their soccer team's unexpected victory over South Korea. At least 60 people died. Citizens had flooded the streets after the win, which put Iraq's national soccer team for the first time in the finals of the Asian Cup games. In Afghanistan, Taliban militants have killed one of their 23 South Korean hostages. Police found the man's body earlier today. He'd been shot multiple times. The Taliban said they killed the Christian aid worker because his government was not being honest in talks. Eight other hostages have reportedly been released. For the first time, a delegation from the Arab League is visiting Israel. Egyptian and Jordanian foreign ministers are promoting a plan for peace in the region. The plan would fully recognize Israel if all lands captured in the 1967 Middle East War are returned to the Palestinians. On Capitol Hill, House Democrats say two White House aides do not have immunity from testifying about the federal prosecutor firings. Contempt of Congress charges passed a Judiciary Committee vote and will continue on to the full House. In San Francisco, a federal judge has rejected attorneys' requests to throw out the lawsuit from five states concerning the Bush administration's warrantless wiretapping program. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is expected to rule on the cases next month. In Britain, forecasts of more rain threaten large regions of central and western England, already suffering the worst flooding in 60 years. Today, Oxford residents were evacuated as the River Thames continued to flood its banks. In southern and eastern Europe, a recent heat wave has killed hundreds. Temperatures have soared to triple digits, fueling wildfires from Italy to Macedonia. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business News, coming up next.
Looking to find the best in the USA? Come to Boulevards.com. We're the best address in city guides across the U.S. For the best information in travel, Boulevards.com gives you the most up-to-date choices for the best in dining, hotels, entertainment, adventure, and exciting tips to make your holiday the best it can be. Whether you're a local or just looking for great getaway tips, go to Boulevards.com and get the best. Be independent of search engines. Make your choices. We're Boulevards.com. Come visit us at SanFrancisco.com, SanJose.com, Carmel.com, WashingtonDC.com, PaloAlto.com, Seattle.com, Oakland.com, SanAntonio.com, Denver.com, and many more. We are Boulevards.com, the best in your visiting the USA. Come visit us at Boulevards.com.
A Senate panel today is expected to approve a measure placing tobacco under the auspices of the FDA. Several changes in practice may be built into the legislation, including the placement of graphic warnings on cigarette boxes. Marine biologists say jumbo shrimp are invading central California waters to prey on commercial fisheries, endangering fishery stocks. The huge squid are usually found only in warm equatorial waters. New York senior citizens make up the latest group targeted for AIDS education and prevention. The CDC says people aged 50 to 64 accounted for 14% of new HIV diagnoses in 2005. And according to an in-house investigation, more than 29,000 registered sex offenders have profiles on the social networking site MySpace.com. The website used by many children has deleted the offenders' accounts. This quarter, lending companies have sent nearly 54,000 California homeowners mortgage default notices. That's a 10-year high. Defense contractor Lockheed Martin posted a 34% surge in quarterly profits. Light sweet crude is trading at $75.88 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 70 points at 13,787. The NASDAQ was up 8, the S&P up 7. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Laurel Crisson.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Eight past the hour, I was a little late to get to the news. Dock my pay. Agnes, you're number one in my book, too, dear. Before we go back to the phones, and we are going back to the phones, you know the number, 877-443-2366. It's prayer meeting. We got to have our communion this evening. Also 304-658-5453. Email comes roaring in, I swear, I tell you, I promise you, roaring in to bob@headonradio.com. And I did want to let you know, I've had several requests from people who don't particularly care for using PayPal, asking for a physical mailing address. Write this down, because John Fox is our webmaster, and John hasn't had a chance to do some updating because John's been internet crippled for about 2 weeks now, and we certainly hope he gets back very, very soon. But we have a mailing address for those of you who don't like to use PayPal, and that mailing address is Head On Communications, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, Eisenhower like the president, Eisenhower, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, P as in Paul, M as in Mary, B as in boy, PMB 318-318, Beckley, Beckley, West Virginia, WV, 25801. So if you don't like PayPal, or you don't like dealing with credit cards or anything like that, and you want to participate in keeping the network on the air, that's how you can do it. Okay? Just to let you know. I do that, well, we'll talk more later. By the way...
Morning, sir.
Morning. I was sitting in the public library in Sherman Street just now, skimming through Rogue Harry's by Horace Walpole, when I suddenly came over all peckish.
Peckish, eh?
Esurient.
Eh?
Yabble-all-oldie-like.
Ah, hungry.
In a nutshell, sir, I thought to myself, a little fermented curd will do the trick. So I curtailed my wall-polling activities, sallied forth and infiltrated your place of purveyance to negotiate the vending of some cheesy comestibles.
Not again?
I want to buy some cheese!
Ah! I thought you were complaining about the music.
Oh, heaven forbid, I'm one who delights in all manifestations of the Terpsichorean muse.
Sorry?
I like a nice dance, you forced to.
Anyway, who said that?
Now, my good man, some cheese, please.
Yes, certainly, sir. What would you like?
Well, how about a little Red Leicester?
I'm afraid we're fresh out of Red Leicester, sir.
Never mind. How are you on...
All right, let's go to the phones. Susan joins us from Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
First of all, your Valley Girl imitation needs work.
Oh, stop it. Like, you can do better.
No, but Stephanie Miller can.
Well, I'm not hot like Stephanie is. Cut me some slack, for heaven's sakes.
You have to admit, and I'm not gay. I am saying this strictly as an intellectual exercise. She's got an incredible ass.
And she does fart jokes.
You bet. Okay. The reason I called is something Gene said.
Okay.
And it actually kind of dovetails real nicely in with prayer meetings. This is a way to protect ourselves from the Bushies coming after us, and also a possible way of separating the religious right from the Bushies.
Okay.
Can you think of anything more likely to separate them from the Bushies than to have the government try to investigate their churches?
Well, see, that's what a lot of us tried to point out to the religious right all along the way, Susan, because there's a long line of cases in the United States that say if you take Caesar's nickel, you will do Caesar's bidding.
Okay, so here's what I propose. I propose, in order to make sure that we are safe, we found the Church of Common Sense. In America, a church is whatever you, by God, say it is. We found the Church of Common Sense. We have just elected Bob Kincaid as the bishop.
Well, I would love to be a bishop, but I'm also a firm believer, Susan, in not reinventing the wheel.
Well, you see, the thing
and I say that for a reason. We've got the Cathedral of Common Sense here. In fact, we're in it now.
Yes, our Cathedral of Common Sense does not have tax-free status.
I know, but wait. You know, Mark Perkle of Northern California, who does all the hosting for BartCop, has already founded the Church of Reality.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason why we couldn't be an affiliated cathedral.
Okay, I can do that. I can understand. I can go with that.
Yeah.
Just as long as we're basically covered by the umbrella of, quote, religion.
Yeah.
And then here's another possible side effect we could use. Turn around and, since you sling the lingo really well, apply for faith-based initiative funds.
From the government?
Of course.
Why not? And see, this could get so much fun, Susan, because
yeah.
when we came up with our apostolic creed or whatever, we could claim that criticizing Republicans and hammering Republicans is holy sacrament for us.
Exactly.
So then they couldn't use that segment of 501c3 by saying, you're advocating for political blah, blah, blah. No. That's our religious belief. So
exactly.
Don't you dare infringe on our First Amendment rights, you persecuting Roman you.
And, you see, that's where it comes into, because you know very well that the Bushies would try and stop it. Now, that's where the separating the right, the religious right comes in, because once they actually try and stop one church,
yeah.
You really think the Baptists aren't going to get the message? Or better yet, the Mormons? The Mormons have a history of persecution.
Oh, I know. They killed a lot of people.
They had a lot of Mormons killed, too. And so they would take a look at that and say, hey, guys, you're going to want to reconsider this.
Yeah. Well,
but
no.
At any rate, as long as...
I don't know if... I'll be honest. I don't know if you can... I don't know if you can wake the Baptists up.
Frankly, neither do I.
I say that as unmeanly as I possibly can, Susan. And I'm not talking about their specific beliefs. I mean, they're not.
I'm talking about the hierarchy.
Yeah, because the people that have power in the Southern Baptist Convention are not going to give it up, and their power is based upon their bigotry. Their power is based upon their prejudice. Their power is based upon their hate. Anything that Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter didn't approve of is the basis of
the Southern Baptist Convention
and their power, precisely.
Yeah.
I mean,
the kind you get up here in the Pacific Northwest, you might be able to get handled.
Well, but those are probably American Baptists and not SBC, although SBC is all over the country. But Dr. Dickland is not going to move out of his McMansion somewhere south of or west of Nashville, and just go and give up all his things and follow Christ and be broke, because it's a lot easier to pretend to follow Christ and be rich.
Yeah.
Their religion has nothing to do with Christ and everything to do with Benjamin Franklin's little greenish pink portrait on a $100 bill.
Exactly, but I don't see why the Horn cannot claim the mantle of religion as long as we need protection to keep from the Bushies from coming down on us because we don't like them. Fine. Religion.
Well, in all seriousness, we may do something similar to that. We won't set ourselves up as a religion, but I couldn't help noticing because I've been doing some studying along this line, Susan. These lines, Susan. I never stop. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. My mind's like a steel trap, you know, rusted shut. With a little marsupial with this little arm in it, going, Jesus, let me out. I've been looking into this and. Pacifica Radio, and I'm sure you're familiar with Pacifica, they are set up as a 501c3. educational foundation. And so every donation that is given to Pacifica is tax deductible.
Yeah.
Charming,
well,
isn't it? I mean, and if they can do it, why can't we?
Sure.
Of course, they've got an army of lawyers. We don't.
Yeah. The thing that made me think of this was I happened to think of a book by Heinlein that I read where the United States had been invaded and conquered. And they were down to their last hidden citadel. And the only way...
Oh, what was that? I read that a couple of years ago. I know exactly the one you're talking about. It's the one where North America is attacked by the Chinese.
By the Pan-Asians, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, if you give me 5 seconds, I'll tell you.
Oh, okay. But, no, I know, and they set up as a church. Of course, that was one of Heinlein's ongoing... gigs, inquiries, whatever, because, you know, Valentine Michael Smith in Stranger in a Strange Land, of course, sets up the Church of All Worlds.
Uh-huh.
He was fascinated with what a person could get away with under the guise of religion.
The day after tomorrow.
Right, okay, yeah, that is it. Yeah, absolutely right.
It was reissued as Sixth Column.
Okay, I read it as Sixth Column then.
So die.
Yeah.
But, yeah, something like that where you basically invent a religion.
Yeah.
And this country has a long history, especially, you know, the closer you get to California, the weirder the religions get.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, something similar may be in the works.
Sure. Or a 501c, but 501c has...
No, 501... Well, 501c3 is the same filing under which churches fall.
Oh, okay.
Churches, educational institutions, labor organizing institutions. There's a whole laundry list of what falls under 501c3.
Yeah.
And that would... Yeah, frankly, it would make some sense. Because to call what we're doing a for-profit operation is, I mean, we're talking about humor this evening. There's nothing funnier than the idea that this would be profit-oriented. Yeah, okay.
Well, yeah, somewhat.
Hey, Susan, good talking to you, darling.
Well, one more word.
Okay.
Boom.
Boom. Yeah, that's the macaroni and cheese.
Couldn't resist.
Terrorist pasta.
Terrorist pasta. That's what you can call it from now on.
Exactly. And I'll
my kids called it.
I will work on my Valley Girl impression.
Oh my God.
Just get this desk cast from Steph and work on it.
Yeah, but I hate being accused.
She does an incredible Hillary Clinton, too.
Oh, I bet she does. I know that. All right, well, we'll talk to you soon. Have a great evening.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
You have a nice night.
You too. Let's see. Let's take a ride back and a little bit more.
A tilsit.
Never at the end of the week, sir. Always get it fresh first thing on Monday.
Tish-tish. No matter. Well, 4 ounces of kefili, then, if you please, stout yeoman.
Ah, well, it's been on order for 2 weeks, sir. I was expecting it this morning.
Yes, it's not my day, is it? Belpaese?
Sorry.
Red Windsor?
Normally, sir, yes. But today the van broke down.
Ah. Stilton?
Sorry.
Gruyere, Emmental?
No.
Any Norwegian Jarlsberger?
No.
Liptauer?
No.
Lancashire?
No.
White Stilton?
No.
Danish Blue?
No.
Double Gloucester?
No.
Cheshire?
No.
Any Dorset Blue Vinny?
No.
Brie, Roquefort, Pont d'Evêque, Port-Salut, Savoyard, Saint-Paulin, Carré de l'Est, Boursin, Brest-Bleu, Pelle de Champagne, Camembert?
Ah, we do have some Camembert.
You do? Excellent.
It's a bit runny, sir.
Oh, I like it runny.
Well, as a matter of fact, it's very runny, sir.
No matter. Hand over la fromage de la belle France qui s'appelle Camembert.
La fromage de la belle France. All of it dangerous. But coming up on 24 minutes after the hour, you want to get involved with the program? You're more than welcome to do so. By the way, just as a sort of a follow-up, the Transportation Security Administration in San Diego is now declaring, as the headline says, where'd it go? Report of terrorist dry run at Lindbergh, a false alarm. Lindbergh being the airport in San Diego. A false alarm. Oh, for pity's sakes. And, of course, I've been sucked right in. We're talking about this instead of talking. But look, you're ahead of the game. You know what's going on in Congress. You know what happened with the contempt. You probably watched today as those hapless, pathetic Republicans on the House Judiciary Committee brought up those stupid, ignorant, meaningless, soulless, just dumber than a bag of rags amendments to the... I'm afraid that we are enduring the very serious business of this yar committee. Please. Just please, quit wasting the people's time. Well, telling a Republican to quit wasting the people's time is like telling water not to be wet. But you know, you get that. Just in case you were wondering, though, the little buried details, way down in the follow-up story to the deadly cheese attack alert from the TSA. You find out that these incidents that I described to you, oh, where are they? The Milwaukee cheese incident, the Houston plastic bag with a 9-volt battery in it incident, the Baltimore incident with a block of Velveeta in it. All of these go back as far as September 2006. Four incidents in the course of almost a year. And Jesus, it's a pattern. Any one of these could have been part of the GAO story that we saw a few weeks ago. But it's handy. It's handy if your entire administration's about to get itself held in contempt. It's handy if there are criminal charges coming down the pike. So I'm not necessarily going to let loose of this story because, you do know what went on in Congress. You do know what's happening. You know the lies that are being told. You heard the exchange between Chuck Schumer and Fredo Gonzalez, whom I have been advised, by the way, never to call Gonzo again because it makes Hunter Thompson's ashes spin wherever it is they are once they came out of the cannon. No, he's Fredo. He's not Gonzo. He's Fredo. You know all this. And it's when we're able to point out what a bunch of just common street-level bunko artists these goons are. That's when we begin to win. And that's when we begin to fight back. And that's how we empower ourselves. So we'll take a break. Heat up the phone lines. 304-658-5453. 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid. I am writing a song about cheese. Cheese is good for you. Yellow and smelly, I like cheese filling my belly. Cheese, 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 cheese,
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
If you missed Strictly Confidential last week, you missed Gay Fashion Tips.
So I'm sitting here in my Florida State University t-shirt and my pajama bottoms.
You missed what gay DJs name their dogs.
Disco and Boogie are their names.
You missed Lesbian Bible Study.
And that's my favorite line, too, out of the Bible, like, thou shalt not lie with a man, so I don't, and so what's up with that?
You missed Kiss and Tell.
And this big, tall, handsome Air Force sergeant bent down and kissed me, and I didn't wash my lips for weeks.
You missed The Pursuit of Happiness.
Are you attached, Mom?
Well, see, now this is Strictly Confidential, isn't it?
Tune in Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered conversation radio, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. You know you want to. Stand by your man.
Never thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing is cool.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they planted trees at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves it. He's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
We can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Before the hour. Now, there is no threat from terrorist cheese in America. But this being prayer meeting night, I thought you might find it interesting to know that there is a significant domestic threat. This is from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Yeah, it's a little bit old, but I've been hanging on to it. I've been hanging on to it for just such an occasion. Like I said, you know, I've said it before. I wait for things to I wait for the links to happen in between stories because it all does begin to make sense, even if some of that sense does make you feel a little bit like you're starring in A Beautiful Mind from time to time and finding plots in the highlights for children. Oh my God, those timber toes, they're dangerous. Headline: three men in jail over bomb at church. Interesting, no? Now, who would be so god-awful as to bomb a church? Who would be so hateful as to bomb a church? Well, we know the Klan bombs churches. We know that racist, bigoted, prejudiced, hateful white people bomb African-American churches. We know that there were fires, a string of arsons through the South, a year, 2 years ago, of people trying to burn out churches. Racists, hate mongers. This isn't that. This is the case of Dayton Lee Calloway, Michael Philip Playstead Jr., and they were arrested early this month near the Victory Family Church after they got bogged down in mud and two others got away. There at the Victory Family Church, there was a glass container, an explosive device in a glass container, which kind of makes you think Molotov cocktail, propped against the church door. These doofuses tried to detonate it twice before they got caught by a deacon. Jared Michael Ragon, R-A-G-O-N, also turned himself in. And they were all, as of this writing early this month, still in jail on about $30,000 bond. Okay, so far so good. We've got most of the facts, a lot of the facts. We'll talk about facts. Let's see here. So, were they Klansmen? No, they weren't Klansmen. Were they skinheads? No, they weren't skinheads. They belonged to what they self-described as a radical Christian activist group. Christians bombing Christians. Lovely, isn't it? Why, wait a minute. It sounds a little like Muslims bombing Muslims, doesn't it? What does it say in the book that 5,000-year-old book of words of wisdom for people who couldn't understand wheelbarrows? What does it say? As you sow, so shall you reap. Doesn't it say that? Yeah, it does. It really does. The glass container from the church and evidence found in the field have been sent to a Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives lab for analysis. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and the U.S. Attorney's Office are reviewing the case to determine whether federal charges will be filed. Whether? No. Wrong word. When charges will be filed. Now, see, this is the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. I mean, it's not even the Dallas Morning News. And this, I've been waiting. Like I said, I wait. I've been waiting. This story hasn't made any national wires. The story wasn't covered on CNN or Fox, MSNBC, CNBC, any of the other networks. Now, granted, CNN can break in and show you live helicopter coverage of a car wreck, but they won't tell you that in the United States, Christians are going to war against Christians. Or fake Christians are going to war against fake Christians. They won't tell you that. Because, you see, the fear, the manipulating the American people via fear is a very real tactic used by some very cynical, hateful people. Karl Rove, George Bush, Dick Cheney, that crowd, David Addington, for the love of God. But the fear has to be bogus. Because, you see, and Bob pointed this out a little bit ago, it's the meaning behind FDR saying the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. The fear is always worse than what actually happens. It's never as bad getting the tooth pulled at the dentist as the agonizing anticipation of going to the dentist. Anything. I remember being a little kid and being terrified. Oh my God, I got the teacher everybody said that you didn't want in fifth grade. What am I going to do? I loved that teacher better than most of the teachers I had in all of my life. It was the fear that was crippling. And this is real fear. This isn't phony wires wrapped around Velveeta fear. This is real fear. This is the Christian dominionist movement, or the Christian reconstruction movement, beginning to take aim. Two of the men said they were involved in an earlier fire in a recycling bin at Centerpoint Church. The fire burned the materials in the bin but did not damage the church. One of the investigators said, "We put them in the category of a domestic terrorist group. We hope to discover the names of other individuals involved and if other devices have been prepared along the way with any plans they may be taking about furthering their cause." The three admitted to being in a core group of seven that created the explosive weapon as a test to draw attention to the demise of society, as well as trying to see whether the device would work, the investigator said. They believe that the past generations have accumulated trash and are responsible for making younger generations clean up their mess. They're trying to make a statement and get society's attention regarding that. Because, you see, all of the people arrested so far are 18 years old, 19 years old. And they're... Ask a military recruiter why he wants an 18-year-old in his army. And he'll tell you, because an 18-year-old mind is a malleable mind. An 18-year-old mind is a mind that can be turned into a peacemaker or a killer, just depending on what you do to it. This is an incredibly disturbing story. This is a story of, frankly, the future of America that has been charted by the Bush administration. Religious intolerance, religious hatreds, religious prejudices, religious bigotries raised to the level of religious dogma. This is the whirlwind that we will reap because of what the Bush administration has set in motion with their faith-based initiatives and their return to moral values and family values. Commander Chris Havens, the police department spokesman, said the suspects boasted about belonging to a leaderless group of 10 or 15 who share a belief that society has become too focused on self-improvement and self-gratification and has lost focus on the glorification of God. So they were going to glorify God by blowing up a church and by setting fire to a dumpster and by making Molotov cocktails. Welcome to Bushmerica. No, wait. Welcome to Dickmerica. Welcome to the theocracy. Welcome to what happens when you run the risk of setting one sect of crazy people above another sect of equally crazy people. Sunni, Shia, Baptist, Seventh-day Adventurer, whatever. This is what happens when they think that they are threatened by the establishment of one religion over another. Which is precisely why the framers of the Constitution said, better that we should establish no religion than to establish one or any. Yeah. 15 minutes before the hour, and we go to the phones. Our good friend Robert calls all the way from Japan. Hey, Robert, welcome to the program. Thank you for calling. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Yeah, it's pretty hot here. We're surviving. Winding down the semester.
Oh, good. So you may have a little bit of a break coming soon?
Yeah, about mid-August. This is where we have the Buddhist holiday of Obon, where we welcome back the dead, and then after 3 days we send them back, you know.
Well, you know, it can get crowded if you don't send them home.
Well, the you know, conversation grows a little bit, you know, stale after 3 days, I mean, with anybody, right?
So. Well, it's kind of one-sided after all, isn't it?
Exactly, right. But, you know, beautiful, wonderful holidays in August, that's for sure. Lots of floats. I may even send you a video of it. Just wanted to chit-chat about the nuclear accident. Sorry to take you off topic.
No, that's okay. I've kind of been waiting for an opportunity to discuss this because there was a set of facts that were put out immediately after the earthquake, and then more and far more disturbing facts began to develop afterward.
Right, right. I think there were 50 unreported problems that finally came out. I mean, a total of 50. So it's kind of disturbing because the Japanese work ethic is, I mean, speaking impartially after 14 years of experience, is really superb. I mean, it really does put the American work ethic to shame. And, I mean, just to take an example of a train, they will take a train and they will clean that train from top to bottom, not one time, not two times, not three times, but four times, with an inspector with a glove. They will prune pine trees with small scissors, if you can understand. Just get it into the most best shape and artistic shape.
I have tried to raise bonsai, so yes.
Yeah. So the work ethic here is pretty, pretty good. And so if they have a hard time doing nuclear power plants, then there's reason for concern for other people, I guess.
Yeah, if the Japanese can't do nuclear power plants, then Homer Simpson's pretty much out of the running, isn't he?
I would say so, you know. And the idea of just building nuclear power plants over fault lines, well, you know, that just doesn't make any sense either. But it's a real genie because you have all of these problems that you don't think about. Like, we had a few nuclear power plant people that were killed because the steam pipes bursted. Because they were worn thin after 25 years, and nobody thought about replacing the pipes, you know, miles and miles of pipes.
Well, you don't think about something like steam passing through steel, putting a particular wear. I mean, stress from pressure, yes, but just wear and tear, no.
Wear and tear, no, don't think about it, yeah. So, I mean, and so there were all sorts of problems that resulted from the earthquakes that they never anticipated, and so... So when I listened to Obama on that YouTube debate, and he said, well, nuclear power is something we should explore, I said, what is there to explore? I mean, explore the $1 billion that you need to put one down, and it takes a few years to put one down to actually get one started. And then I think you need another $1 billion to get rid of the nuclear waste somewhere.
And what's the lifespan of one, Robert? I mean, it's not like a steam plant that can be there for 75 years. A nuclear power plant, the reactor has to fall apart.
Right. I mean, things wear down. I mean, so I think the lifespan is 25 years, and if you look at most nuclear power plants, they're way over that in the States, at least.
Yeah. Well, I know the one I grew up near is a whole lot more than any 25 years old, and they just got around to trying to restart that thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, whatever respect that I had for Obama just went down the tubes. I mean, when he said that kind of garbage, I mean, it's just talking out of his ass. They don't know how the hidden cost of nuclear power. I mean, they think it's the big way of generating electricity, but if you look at how much it actually ends up costing society, it's a no-brainer. I mean, the Japanese are trying to build a fast breeder reactor, which is the only way that you can get rid of nuclear waste and have it actually make electricity, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's Monju, but they, for some reason, they tried it a couple of years and just didn't work out. I don't know what has happened since, but I guess if you had fast breeders to use up the electricity, to the nuclear waste, then it might be somewhat feasible, but even still, you know.
Well, I'm learning from the chat room, Robert, that our good friend Lottie, who has knows a little bit of everything, pointing out that nuclear power plants don't even become profitable for at least 20 years, and their obsolescence then happens in 5 to 10 years after that. How can Obama or anybody else say that this is a technology worth pursuing?
Especially when you think you can put down some windmills, and it doesn't take a whole year or 2 years, 3 years to put one down, and it starts generating electricity immediately.
It does, and there are technological limitations to windmills that I didn't know about, but have subsequently learned, and that is, you know, they only work at certain speeds.
Yeah.
And if, for instance, the winds, like on a mountaintop in West Virginia, if the winds get too high, you have to shut them down, because otherwise they'll be destroyed.
Yeah.
But the technology that lies behind fixing that problem is relatively minuscule mechanical engineering as compared to trying to make a safe nuclear reactor.
Right. I mean, if you put all that money and then into a nuclear power plant and just put it into the solar power, then you would probably have new fantastic solar power panels going up in a few years, you know. It's just, I mean, I just wish I had heard a whole lot of new ideas from that debate, and I just heard the same old garbage, it seemed like.
Well, these things are fast turning into dog and pony shows, aren't they, Robert?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I guess I knew all along, but geez, when Carol Costello has a conversation with Wolf Blitzer on CNN about Hillary's fabulous pink suit.
Oh, God.
And how she really put the men in the box, because they have to wear dark suits and she can wear pink.
Well, yeah, these are the women that put women down. I mean, a couple, you know, centuries back, you know, this kind of thinking.
Well, to defend Hillary a little bit, she shows up in a business-like pantsuit, and she's criticized for being in a pantsuit. So she shows up in a pink suit among a bunch of people a bunch of men in dark business suits, and obviously she was doing that, Wolf, because she's been criticized for not being feminine enough. So she's wearing a pink suit. Yeah, whatever happened to clothes don't make the man?
Or the woman or anybody else. Yeah, yeah. It's just I get disgusted because I've realized that this is not really about an election; it's about a selection. Which blue blood do you want to rule you? I mean, democracy is about the rich, for the rich, about the rich, and it's to the rich.
Well, if you read Noam Chomsky or if you read Howard Zinn, you get a pretty good idea of that, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, as I said, I mean, you look at all the cities in America, you have three zones, and you have Zone A for the rich, and Zone B for the middle class, and Zone C for the poor, and in every single city, no matter how popular, how much of a majority of the poor is, it's the prisons, the dumps, the nuclear power plants, all the garbage is in Zone C with the four.
Yeah, as well as the pathway, the really noisy wall rattling pathway to the airport. Sure.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's where all the garbage is dumped. And so, I mean, what's so great about democracy then? I mean, even in the Philippines, you have, you know, 95% of the people that are dirt-ass poor, and they're all ruled by congressmen and senators who are all rich. So.
Yeah, and that's after they had their democratic revolution and got rid of the Marcos regime.
Well, I mean, my wife was, you know, she was saying Marcos was a dictator, but he was a dictator for the poor. He stole from the rich and gave to the poor. Something, you know, vaccines, mm-hmm. Stuff like that. And the rich got unhappy about that, so they picked out Ramos, who's always been the man that was running the whole show anyway, except for a few years during the lapse period. And he stole from the poor. Vaccinations were cut out, all the poor stuff, people for the stuff for the poor, and he gave it back to the rich. And so it's been like that ever since. I mean, even if you had Aquino, she was just a puppet for Ramos. The guy that stands on the tank is the one that holds the power, so... But I mean, it's like the same thing with the Bush. You see, I mean, we really don't know who's in control of this country at the end of the day. I sometimes think that the rich picked Bush out because he was so stupid, and so because he's stupider, he's easier to manipulate.
Well, they picked him out, but I also don't believe for an instant, Robert, this business about how Dick Cheney was selected to find George Bush's running mate the first time through. And he went through the list, and he went, "Well, by golly, none of them are better than me." That fix was in for a long time, because George Bush is dumber than a bag of rags, and he's the figurehead, and he's, as a bonus, he's mean spirited and hard headed. So you know, but he can pull off that, aw shucks, poop kicking fake populism. While Dick Cheney, who has the heart and soul of a robot, goes about the evil business that was actually to be transacted.
Yeah, but I just don't see him ever leaving office in 2009. I mean, I just don't see him going, "Golly gee, walkers, my time's up. I better go." I just don't see that in my mind and my heart. I something's going to happen.
Well, I can't say any more. I can't say any more that you're flat wrong, Robert. I just can't do that.
Yeah.
Because it's possible based on what we already know, the trial balloons that they floated before the 2004 election about reasons to cancel the election.
Right.
We know that they're thinking about this stuff. And frankly, you know, I saw a quote from Marcos Melitzis, saying that it's positively loony to think that George Bush and Dick Cheney won't voluntarily leave office in January 2009. Until such time as they put see, this isn't me or you or us. This is them. Until such time as they put their hand on a Bible, put their hand in the air, and swear to God or whatever they think is holy that they will leave office at the appointed time, I don't think it's unreasonable to wonder if they will.
Well, I mean, it gets to the point of, Cheney was talking about a shadow government, I mean, after 9/11, and sometimes I think he's actually got one set up. I was watching the History Channel the other day, and there was about psychics. I'm not going to go down into psychics, but they had this one incident where they took the psychics out to the western part of the United States where they didn't know anything, and the psychic said, "Oh, there's a secret installation under that hill," and the CIA, which was operating them, said, "No, there's nothing there." And the psychic said, "Oh, there's this and there's this and there's these files and these are the names of the files, and there's actually a secret thing down there." So they started digging, and they actually found that there was a secret installation run by another Secret Service agency, and this was all invisible to the government. You know, I mean, you've got probably dozens and dozens of these, you know, secret... I mean, you have 19 already. You have CIA, FBI, and 19 other Secret Service agencies. And they all probably have bred two or three or four of these secret projects, which the government doesn't know about. They're all self-funded by making either counterfeit money or running drugs from Afghanistan.
Or just the black budget that we're not allowed to see.
Yeah, I mean, the Pentagon said like $19 billion was missing. I mean, this was the Pentagon budget department thing.
Yeah, anybody want to know where that is?
Yeah.
Anybody want to guess?
Yeah. I mean, I sometimes wonder how many congressmen have been bought off. With, I mean, $19 billion, you can buy a lot of congressmen, I would imagine.
Well, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but the late, great comedian Bill Hicks. You ever heard of him, Robert?
No.
Google him sometime. You'll just laugh outrageously because it's funny. But he also has some very, very, as great comedians do, some very, very trenchant observations. And he said at one point that he had a theory that whenever a president is elected, the first thing they do is they take him into the Oval Office.
Yeah.
And they show him the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah.
And at some point or another, the new president looks up and goes, "Hey, wait, that's not the Zapruder film. That's a different angle."
Mm-hmm.
And the intelligence community guys go, "Okay, now here's the agenda." And he says, "Where?" And the new president says, "Where do I sign?"
Yeah.
That's believable to me.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. Given, you know, just given the size of our government and given the way that organizational structures operate, I don't know if any one man, even when he's utterly brilliant like Bill Clinton was, you know, Rhodes Scholar, you know, sleeps 2 hours a night because his brain won't shut down. I don't know if any one person can get his mind around the government anymore because of its expanded scope.
Expanded scope and all these secret projects going on, and it's out of control. So that's why I was getting ever more cynical about, you know, I don't see a happy ending to this. So, and it's wild because even in World War II, under FDR, I learned that the Japanese down in Peru, who were actually Peruvian citizens, were taken by American soldiers and hauled all the way back to California and put into prison camps.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, all the way down to South America, anyone of Japanese origin was hauled back, no matter what citizenship he was, back and put into a prison camp. And that was, you know, 60 years ago.
So one can only wonder what we're doing now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, can you imagine if they wanted to close that border, they could close that border and not a rat would get through.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I don't doubt that in the least.
So, and you know, they're not building those prison camps in Indiana for nothing. Not just to kill some time.
No. Those are internment camps for when it gets a little too hot, and people like me and others are deemed to be just too dangerous.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it's one of those situations where the question is not what do you do, because there's nothing you can actually do, but where do you go? I guess you can't go down to Peru.
No. Frankly, there's not many places that are beyond the reach of the evil that our government will do if it deems doing it is necessary.
Yeah.
People talk about, oh, I'll go to Costa Rica. Oh, I'll go to Belize. I'll go to Canada. I'll go here and there. Anybody who's seen on the beach knows that ultimately no one is safe.
Yeah.
So I might as well stay and fight. You know what I mean, Robert?
Well, it's a tough choice to make, you know. Because I just don't see Cheney, like you said, giving up power and just walking off the stage.
No. I don't either. And that's why, at the very least, I think they might be inclined, if they can get the right person in office, to try to continue to exert influence. You remember when they talked, well, the Clinton administration took all the W's off the keyboards.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
That turned out to be a fraud. That turned out to be a fake. It wasn't real. It was utterly made up by the right wing and delightfully spread about by the mainstream media. But that kind of thing is something that this administration would do, Robert. They would gladly try to leave a worm in the apple, if you know what I mean.
Oh, not one, but, you know, 1,000 or 10,000 to make sure that the next government didn't function, and then, you know, you blame whatever problems on them. I mean, it gets sick. I mean, they had 31 action committees to get Clinton. you know,
mm-hmm.
during his second administration. I mean, on anything, and it gets to the point where you have to say, hey, this ain't working out. So I really don't know what the solution is, though.
Well, there are those out there who are calling for a constitutional convention.
Yeah.
I don't...
For what?
Well, for purposes of correcting some of the things that appear to be failing in our government.
Oh, okay.
For literally changing the Constitution. They're calling it an Article 5 convention. It can be called by the states.
Yeah, right.
You can Google it and find out about it. Yeah. But it's tough to address, and it's tough to think about, to sit and say that that our constitutional form of government has reached a place where it is no longer able to deal with the level of evil and the combined levels of evil, mendacity, and outright ignorance with which we are faced.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I just wanted to say hi to you and see how you're doing.
Well, I appreciate it, and it's always good to hear from you, and we were very relieved to know that Kita Kyushu is not within the earthquake zone, so that gave us all some relief.
It's one of the safer places. We're pretty safe from even typhoons. That last one that came up 2 weeks ago just kind of went by the wayside. So we lucked out on that.
Of course, as you noted, though, with all the spillage of the radioactive material, your sushi diet may have been impacted for a little while.
Oh, right. Well, it's never a good idea to eat sushi in the summer anyway, but too much bacteria. But, it's just, you get to the point where, what the hell, what am I going to do? What can I eat that's not polluted?
Bring on the tekamaki.
Yeah.
Robert, so good hearing from you.
Okay, you take care now.
You have a wonderful day.
I will.
Bye now. Our good friend Robert in Tokyo. Or not Tokyo, Kita Kyushu in Japan.
Where are you going?
I'm all over the place, Agnes. We'd better do the news. So we'll be back after the news. We're a little late getting to it, but yeah, whatever. We're reinventing radio anyway. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. Your phone calls are welcome, 304-658-5453. 877-443-2366. They both ring the same place, and you get to talk to the fabulous Agnes either way. We'll be back after the news. I'm Bob.
This is the Quality News Network. House Democrats will try again to push a new plan to get U.S. troops out of Iraq. Their latest legislation will be voted on next week and would have U.S. troops begin withdrawing in November. Representative John Murtha says Republicans will get behind this bill because of increasing frustration among voters over the lack of progress in Iraq. A 9-member presidential panel handed over a 29-page report calling for improvements in veterans' care. The Senate already addressed several issues by passing legislation this morning to reduce red tape, boost military pay, and care. In Baghdad, 2 suicide car bombs killed dozens of Iraqis as they celebrated their soccer team's unexpected victory over South Korea. At least 60 people died. Citizens had flooded the streets after the win, which put Iraq's national soccer team for the first time in the finals of the Asian Cup games. In Afghanistan, Taliban militants have killed one of their 23 South Korean hostages. Police found the man's body earlier today. The militants said the South Korean government was not being honest in its negotiations. A federal judge has ordered Sudan to pay almost $8 million to the families of the 17 sailors who were killed in the attack on the USS Cole in 2000. The funds will be extracted from Sudan's assets frozen by the U.S. And for the first time, a delegation from the Arab League is visiting Israel. Egyptian and Jordanian foreign ministers are promoting a plan for peace in the region. The plan would fully recognize Israel if all the lands captured in the 1967 Middle East War are returned to the Palestinians. On Capitol Hill, House Democrats say two White House aides do not have immunity from testifying about the federal prosecutor firings. Contempt of Congress charges passed a Judiciary Committee vote and will continue on to the full House. In San Francisco, a federal judge has rejected attorneys' requests to throw out the lawsuits from five states concerning the Bush administration's warrantless wiretapping program. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is expected to rule on the cases next month. In Britain, forecasts of more rain threatening large regions of central and western England are already suffering from the worst flooding in 60 years. Today, Oxford residents were evacuated. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
It's not hard to find people in need. They're everywhere. And there's more than one kind of disaster that affects people's lives. There's AIDS and the millions of orphans the disease has left behind. There are teeming refugee camps, the result of war and persecution. Mary Knoll has been reaching out to the world's needy for nearly a century. Mary Knoll is there right now, in 40 countries around the world. And with your help, Mary Knoll will be there tomorrow. Call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARY-KNOLL. Or, for more information, go to www.mygiftcounts.org. One world, one mission, Mary Knoll.
New research finds that obesity, like a cold, can spread through a group of friends. Calling it socially contagious, researchers found a person's chance of becoming obese increased by 57% if one of their friends became obese. Marine biologists say voracious jumbo squid are invading central California waters and are endangering fishery stocks. The huge squid are usually found only in warm equatorial waters. New York senior citizens make up the latest group targeted for AIDS education and prevention. The CDC says people aged 50 to 64 accounted for 14% of new HIV diagnoses in 2005. China says police raided two criminal organizations accused of pirating $500 million worth of software worldwide. Beijing says the busts were the result of 2 years' investigation by Chinese police and the FBI. This quarter, lending companies have sent nearly 54,000 California homeowners mortgage default notices. That's a 10-year high. Wall Street is closed. Light sweet crude is trading at $75.88 a barrel. The Dow closed up 70 points at 13,787. The NASDAQ also closed up 8 points. The S&P up 7. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
12 past the hour. I'm Bob. You guys are you guys. And I'm really glad about it. This is our prayer meeting edition of the program. It's Wednesday, and let's get back to the congregation. Luke joins us from Knoxville. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Evening, Bob.
How are you?
Oh, I tell you what, I watched the testimony yesterday in Congress. Now,
yes.
You and I are both we're TV and film buffs, okay?
Right.
You remember the day at the races and Chico selling the racing guides to Groucho?
Yes.
That made a whole lot more sense than Fredo's testimony yesterday. I thought once, twice. I think Leahy, and Spector, I think Leahy was going to go down and grab Fredo by the arm and let Spector come down and slug him.
Well, you know, it's worth noting that Spector was so confounded mean to poor Fredo that Fox News had to designate him a Democrat.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the screen grab right now. Pennsylvania Senator Arlen Spector, D.
Oh, God, I tell you. But I mean, it was just, the one that got to me was when he kept, I can't remember if it was Spector or Leahy. Like, I think it was Spector, and was trying to get him to say who sent him to when he went to go see Ashcroft.
He kept going,
I was sent by the White House.
I went on behalf of the president.
And I kept saying, who told you? You know, who exactly told you? You know, was it George Bush? Was it Dick Cheney? Who? A name. And like I say, he just kept, it's like that old thing, you know, where they used to show the mobsters pull out the little card with their Fifth Amendment right on it.
Yeah, well, you know, under better circumstances, Schumer could have asked him, look, you know, Fredo, we're not going to do anything that's going to cause you bodily, that's going to cause loss of bodily organ functions or death, and then bring out the diehard battery and the jumper cables. Who sent you?
Bring out the boar and a big bucket and the horse trough of water.
Yeah. I mean,
it's one of those things. You ever seen those?
I guess we're just mean, Luke.
Well, I know. But you remember those pneumatic injectors? You know that they brought out. You know when they were trying to replace the needle. You know where you give somebody a shot.
Oh, I got my measles vaccination through one of those. Oh, it's not really a shot. Yeah, it is.
You just wish that when he walked into the room, somebody bumped into him and gave him a good armful of scopolamine or amyl nitrate or
Versed.
Sodium pentothal. Or,
yeah, sure.
Maybe all three, just before he sat down, just to talk, just to keep talking.
But I mean, we kid back and forth about this, Luke. But there is an element of something worth thinking about here, and I mentioned in the chat room, and bless his heart, our good friend Mark Levine picked up on it during his show, and that is this: you know, he sat there and basically called James Comey a liar.
Yeah.
He said that James Comey lied under oath to that self-same committee. Now, what we've got to learn to do is think out, as the saying goes, think outside the box.
Well, tonight, right now, while I'm sitting here talking to you, I've got Oberman on.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had breaking news that says documents contradict Attorney General's sworn testimony yesterday.
Well,
apparently he was saying, like, that the Gang of Eight had been briefed on something.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they're saying, no, we weren't.
No, but we didn't get that briefing. But what I'd like—I recommended in the chat room, and you know, you've got a scholarly bent. You can find this online. Go read the history of what happened prior to Cicero's prosecution of a guy named Verres in the Roman Republic, V-E-R-R-E-S. And that's a classic case of thinking outside the box.
Well, I tell you,
if we learn to do that kind of thing, we can get through this without it being the time-consuming process that everyone fears it will be.
Well, the one that got to me last night when I was watching the highlights was I do not remember what the exact thing was, but Dianne Feinstein, I thought, caught him. She asked him something, and after he answered, he was backtracking like everything, because you got to feel he said something he didn't mean to.
Well,
when she was asking some question.
He qualified every statement that he, you know, is your name Alberto Gonzalez?
That's what my parents called me.
That's what my parents called me. That's what I heard whenever it was time for supper.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like saying he never answered, you know, it's like, it's one of those things, you know, it's like, these are going to be yes and no questions. Yes and no are the only possible answers. Now, did the president send you? Maybe.
Wrong.
Yeah.
And that's when the diehard battery comes up.
Oh, I tell you what, it's one of the things. It's like, you know, you know every time I hear any of this stuff lately, you just really want to just line up the press and just go, are you all real happy you got these idiots elected?
Oh, I think every now and then I read one of Maureen Dowd's columns, Luke, and I think about the time that she spent questioning whether or not Al Gore really was the basis for Love Story, and I just and I think, you know, the woman probably makes seven figures.
Oh yeah, well, you know, it's like I've always said, and I'll say this until I drop off this planet, that I still to this day think the main reason, the more than anything, they went after him was the fact they couldn't get Bill Clinton. You know, they never could bring Bill Clinton down. They could nick him up, but they never could hurt him really. And I think they decided, you know, we couldn't get Clinton, okay, so we're going to get a successor. You know, we're going to prove how powerful we are. We're going to knock a man down who should be president. And we're going to put a boob in who should never be president.
And look what it got us.
Yeah.
See, I even though the thought of Vice President Joe Lieberman just fills me with woo.
Yeah, I know.
But by the same token, Lieberman wouldn't have had the powers that Cheney has. Lieberman would have been sent to he would have been put on funeral detail.
Yeah, that's what he would have been.
And he wouldn't be hurting people in the Senate now.
People are visiting Israel a lot. That's fine.
Good for you. Go live on a kibbutz there, Joe.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine. But Lord, what?
It's like we said. You know, whoever it is, and we can get into the boys at CNN trying to make it a fist fight between Hillary and Obama, but it's one of those things. Whoever gets elected, the first 2 years they're just going to be unwinding mess.
Yeah,
you know that's going to be their first 2 years is just trying to straighten up all the crap for this last eight.
Well, we are at a point now, Luke, where I don't think whoever gets to be president, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be a Democrat, and then that may mean it may well wind up being Hillary,
But like I say, Hillary's better than any Republican we can name.
Beats the hell out of President Romney or President Giuliani or President Tancredo or President, Zippy the Pinhead. Well, that's the entire Republic. President Thompson beats the dickens out of any one of those, but they've lost the initiative. They've already screwed themselves, Luke, because now we know that they are going, but just because of the logistics involved in getting out of Iraq, we know that they're going to spend the end of Iraq is going to happen in the first year, hopefully, of their presidency.
Yeah.
And from that moment forward, that president will be saddled with, you lost the Iraq war, and they're going to have to run against that, and it provides such exquisite swift voting material for the 2012 election cycle. Boy, I tell you what, do I live in the future or what? I'm already worried about 2012.
Well, it's like, whoever it is, you know, like say when they spend that first 2 to 3 years cleaning up the mess, you can already hear him say, well, they weren't taking care of the country's business. They were there, you know, trying to destroy George Bush's legacy.
Yeah.
And then you're sitting there going, what, George Bush's legacy? Something that can only be termed in satanic rituals? What?
I know. Well, speaking of satanic rituals, I've got a link to a BBC documentary I just have to watch soon. About the Republican attempted coup against FDR.
Oh,
guess who was neck deep in that?
Which one?
Prescott Bush. Sure, why not? Absolutely.
Well, you know, it's like most people when you were growing up. The one that always blew my mind when I was growing up was when you found out about Mr. Lindbergh's political bent.
Oh,
just because he was out there with Mr. Duke down in Louisiana, and all, it's like, God, you know what I mean? You know, because you know when you're growing up and you're a little kid, you know they always talk to you about Charles Lindbergh. Charles Lindbergh was a nut of the highest caliber.
Insane, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, his political beliefs and his, like I say, he might as well just been gone over and joined the SS. You know, some of the things I've read about him, he was essentially part of the Fifth Front.
Yeah, he was.
You know, but you know what I mean? But when we're talking about this, I'm sorry to get off the subject.
No, that's okay. There is no subject.
I know, but you know what I mean. But it's like that. Now all of a sudden we're having also going to have this thing where, like say, with Conyers now, you know, going for sending these things for Harriet Myers and Josh Bolton. You know, and it's like say it's like say who in the administration isn't under investigation? That may be a smaller list at this rate.
You're absolutely right, and I'm waiting for the inherent contempt part to kick in because I'm just fascinated with that. This idea that if Fredo refuses to prosecute the contempt, then Congress can invoke what is called inherent contempt and try these people in the House.
It's like, congratulations, come with us.
And incarcerate them for the entire remaining term of the Congress.
Works for me.
We can build Harriet and Josh a pair of little I'm sure Halliburton still manufactures them. A pair of little cages right there in the corner of the house chamber, and just let them stand. Raise your hand when you have to go to the bathroom, you know, that kind of thing. And you know.
It's like I say, there's rooms in the Congress people don't even know about. I'm sure they've got nice places set up.
Oh, but I want them on display, Luke.
I sort of like them more. It'd be sort of like Big Brother. We'll just put them down there and put the TV camera on them. let's see who goes crazy.
And yeah, and make it a webcam so we can watch them.
Uh-huh.
That could be citizen activism, where we volunteer to guard Harriet and Josh for certain periods of time.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? It's just one of these things. I mean, every time you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, you know, it's like they were talking yesterday about Fredo. They said, you know, when you thought he actually couldn't go any lower, the man's digging a hole with a missile now. You know what I mean? God, it's like...
digging a hole with a missile. I'm hanging on to that one, too. He's pathetic, but he was never very smart to begin with.
Well, you know, but
he's a toady.
Well, you know, it's like I've written a couple of things before, you know, to different people, and I said, you know, the thing that I mean, I'm sure he gets it, but the thing is the Attorney General is the United States Attorney, not George Bush's. That's why George Bush has a counsel. You know, whoever the president has a counsel.
Yeah.
Because when you become the Attorney General, congratulations, you now have 270 million clients.
That's
right,
true.
It's not just the guy up on Pennsylvania Avenue. He's just one.
But they don't understand that, Luke.
No.
These people operate on a purely Machiavellian, Mayberry Machiavellian, yeah. Mind you, but purely political, purely self-interested basis.
All for one as long as I'm the one.
Precisely. Precisely.
Oh, God, I tell you what. But we'll just have to wait and see. Like you say, I think I have to mention what the House is going to do. When Fredo refuses to do it, the House is going to say, guess what? We've got a part of the Constitution we haven't used in a long while, but it's still there.
They're going to have to.
Because, use it.
and the thing is, I think that's ultimately it's what the Bush administration wants, because they if the Capitol Police and the Sergeant at Arms are sent for Harriet Myers, they will be met with some level of executive branch law enforcement. It scares me to death, but I begin to wonder if they do not, in fact, want open confrontation.
Oh, I tell you. We'll just have to wait and see, Bob. Let me let somebody else get on here, and you have a good evening.
All right, Luke, you take care, brother.
Bye, then.
Talk to you soon.
See ya.
Bye now. Am I just out of my tree? Can you envision a scenario in which Dick Cheney, sitting in his nuclear-hardened bunker or where the hell ever, says, how many divisions does the Congress control? I can envision that. The same mind that can envision him refusing to leave office in January 2009 can envision him seeking open armed confrontation against the Congress should they move on Harriet Myers. And somebody's going to blink. And I don't know if robots blink. And Dick Cheney is a robot. He's Bender from Futurama with none of the charming qualities. And it's disturbing. This is a complete shifting gears away. This is just one that has to be out there. This one's for the sports fans. Do you remember the Fiesta Bowl last January? It was the Oklahoma Sooners versus Boise State. And, you know, the whole football season, well, you know, Boise State, you know, they can't play in the league with the big boys. You know, they've got a good record, but that's only because they don't play anybody. Sort of like what we used to say about Brigham Young, only in the case of Brigham Young, it was true. But Boise State took it down to the wire, and it was a shootout. It was probably the best football game of the entire bowl series. I remember watching it with my dad. And at the very end, Ian Johnson ran a Statue of Liberty play in an act of absolute just football heroism, if you can apply that term. and won the game and beat the hated Sooners, who have gone on to get busted by the NCAA and had to forfeit their entire 2005 season, maybe last season, I'm not sure. Well, if you recall the aftermath of that, they won the game, and instead of running down and, hey, Ian Johnson, you just won the Fiesta Bowl. What are you doing there? I'm going to Disneyland. No. No, it was something entirely different as he went over to one of the Boise State cheerleaders and proposed to her. It was one of those seemingly authentic moments. One of those moments when you go, oh, well, there's still some goodness and decency left in this country. It was charming. I remember Agnes watching it and going, aw, because Agnes goes, aw, and, you know, she's tough as nails here. Don't kid yourself. But, you know, puppies and squirrels and little girls with ice cream cones and football players proposing to cheerleaders will make her eyes puddle up and, oh, that's so sweet. And she did that. The whole nation did that. Oh, true love. Okay? Well, there is an underbelly to this story. And I'm proud to say that it has nothing to do with the soon-to-be bride or groom. But Ian Johnson is an African-American young man. And Chrissy Popatix is a young white girl. They're going to be married Saturday in Boise. They're going to be married surrounded by hired, armed security guards. Because Mr. Johnson and Miss Popatix have received death threats for getting married. You know what these threats are.
This is the mongrelization of the races. It's miscegenation.
Johnson himself said, you know, it's really sad because a lot of people that are probably doing it are the same people who were cheering me on. This is, after all, Idaho. I added the Idaho part. That wasn't Mr. Johnson. For me, this is another one of those, you know, hey, it's another story not about West Virginia. Of course, maybe because we have a long history of men of many colors going into holes in the ground and everyone coming out pitch black, maybe we've got a little bit better understanding of the foolishness of such thinking here. Mr. Johnson's 21 years old, and he said, you take it for what it is, the less educated, the less willing to change. But we're not acting like we're naive to all the stuff that's going on. We know what's been said. We're going to make sure we're safe at all times. It's an amazing day for us, and we'd hate to have it ruined by someone. Lord, we have so, so very far to go in this country. Because, you see, it's not like he got one call. You don't hire armed security for your wedding because of one call, one email, or one letter. You do it because there've been a lot of them. Oh, and there are still people out there who say gay marriage doesn't need to be on the table. Well, I say it does. Because I say the sooner that we move on and allow all civil rights for all citizens of this country, then the sooner we get to a place where a fine young man like Ian Johnson and a lovely young lady like Chrissy Popatix can get married because they love each other. But in 2007, in the first decade of the 21st century, 2,000 years since a man who said we should love each other as ourselves was murdered for saying it, these two exemplary young people are having their lives threatened because they want to love each other.
Brought to you by the Republican National Committee. George W. Bush, Maximum Decider.
We keep the evildoers down at Gitmo because they're dangerous. Terrorists learn better when they got panties on their heads and stripes on their backs like the grill marks on a ribeye. If we don't do that, they'll kill you. Because they hate your mama, and they hate your Bible, like they hate your freedoms. Fear. It's what's for dinner.
Alrighty then. 18 minutes before the hour, and let's hit a couple more just for the fun of it. I got this from our good friend Cindy in Washington. An AP story: Democratic hopefuls snub party moderates. Oh, help me, my aching back. All for the most part, all we've got in the Democratic field are wishy-washy moderates. Bill Clinton will be there, so will 300 office holders from more than 45 states. But one thing will be missing when Democrats gather in Tennessee this weekend to discuss how to appeal to moderate, independent-minded voters in 2008, the Democratic presidential field. Not a single one of the 8 presidential candidates plans to attend the Democratic Leadership Council summer meeting, a snub that says less about the centrist DLC than it does about a nomination process that rewards candidates who pander to their party's hardened cores while ignoring everybody else. Jesus, this is out there as a news story! It's by Ron Fournier. Editor's note, Ron Fournier has covered politics for the Associated Press for nearly 20 years. Well, congratulations. Give him a gold watch and send him down the road. This is put out as a new... It doesn't say at the top of this, opinion piece, warning, warning. Mealy-mouthed mugwump writes opinion piece. No. What a dirty, rotten, filthy lie Mr. Fournier has put across here. A snub that says less about the centrist DLC than it does about a nomination process that rewards candidates who pander to their party's hardened cores. Do you have a hardened core? I don't have a hardened core. I'm all soft and squishy all the way through. I don't have a hardened core. I have some core beliefs. I believe that the working people of America who carry this country on their backs every day are more important than the wealthy sons of bitches who don't give a damn about this country, who can leave at a moment's notice. I believe that. I believe every American, regardless of age, gender, or social status, should be able to go to the doctor when they're sick. Does that make me hardcore? I believe the Iraq War was a nightmare when it started, and it's becoming a bigger nightmare from which we seem unable to awake. Does that make me hardcore? Or does that make me normal and rational? and sane, for the love of God. Oh, this story just pissed me off when I read it. Says less about the centrist DLC than it does about a nomination. Liar, 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 pants on fire. The DLC ran John Kerry's campaign. DLC advisors went to John Kerry when they were when during the Republican National Con and said, now they're going to say a lot of rotten things about you, and the upright Christian thing for you to do, Senator Kerry, is not to fight back. You let them beat the piss out of you, John. Don't say anything back. And the DLC stood there with its advisor. Now, John, the Swift voters are saying some nasty things about you. Don't you go out and slap the piss out of the little cowards. No matter how many rotten things they say about you or your wife, John, don't you fight back. That's the moderates in the Democratic Party. That is the Democratic Leadership Council. That is the DLC. That's the gutless people who don't understand how you have to deal with bullies if you want them to stop bullying you. Less about the centrist DLC than it does about a nomination process. Maybe the presidential candidates on the Democratic side don't want anything to do with the DLC because the DLC's a gang of losers. Maybe the DLC is best at losing elections. Maybe the Democratic presidential field doesn't want to be seen hanging around with the Washington Generals before they go up against the Globetrotters. God. DLC founder Al Fromm said of his fellow Democrats, they have tunnel vision. Shut up, Al! You're rich. Go somewhere. Live on a yacht. I don't care. But quit poisoning my party. To discuss how to appeal to moderate, independent-minded voters in 2008. Bullcrap. Bug spray. You know, for the most part, and it's still pretty close, pretty close to accurate. No president gets elected, no Republican president gets elected without Democrats crossing the line. Those aren't Democrats. Those Reagan Democrats, they weren't Democrats to begin with. Fromm said, presidents are elected in the middle, and they are elected by being bigger than their party. Neither party's activists alone can elect somebody president. Democrats have a long history of nominating people, including people who have lost badly. The challenge for Democrats is to nominate somebody who can win the election. Kiss my butt, Al Fromm. What he's saying there is that the way he sees things, the Democratic Party's job these days is to nominate somebody who's a little bit more like a Republican. Hey, Al, buddy. John Kerry was your guy. Why don't we have President Kerry, Al? Because you don't know how to fight back, Al, you and your centrists, your independents, your mugwumps. You don't want to fight back. You don't have the guts or the stomach for the bar brawl that the Republicans have turned American politics into. Al Fromm, you bring a knife to a gunfight, buddy. And, just, you know, one last... who's going to be there? Washington Governor Chris Gregoire's push for electronic medical records. They'll talk about that. Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius's education reforms. Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley's Homeland Security and Anti-Crime Initiatives. Yay! And finally, Montana Governor Brian Schweitzer's, wait for it, you're going to love this, I'm not making this up, Montana Governor Brian Schweitzer's cutting-edge energy plans. Montana Governor Brian Schweitzer's cutting-edge energy plans. Anybody want to guess what Montana Governor Brian Schweitzer's cutting-edge energy plans are? Liquid coal. That is Brian Schweitzer's cutting-edge energy plan, liquefaction of coal. Oh, boy, that's cutting-edge. Wow, nothing like a Nazi technology to make you all cutting-edge in 2007, huh, Governor Schweitzer? And that's what the Democratic Leadership Council has to offer. We've got to be moderate. What does it say in Revelation? I would that you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm, and I will spit you out of my mouth. Let's go to the phones. Jim joins us. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm all right.
I tell you, you got it going on tonight. I give you credit for that.
Well, I appreciate that. We're having fun.
Well, you and I have had our differences before, and we've had our hackles with each other, but, you know, honestly and truly, as much as I can search through my soul and heart, I can't disagree with a whole lot of what you're saying.
Well, I can't wrap my mind around liquid coal, and I can't wrap my mind around the idea of dangerous cheese. I'm tired of being manipulated, I'm tired of being fooled with, and I'm tired of anybody who does it.
Well, you certainly have made your point safely. And I can understand why you raise your voice now. I really can.
Sometimes it can't be helped, Jim.
Well, I understand that.
It's that or kick furniture, you know, and my toes hurt.
Tell me about it. I guess I've had to spend so much of my life when I couldn't raise my voice. I've had so many voices raised at me. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But I'll tell you. Just keep it going on. That's all I can tell you to do.
I appreciate it, Jim.
And I hope we buried all our differences, okay?
That's fine. No worries. All right.
You take care, and God bless you and your family.
You take care, too, Jim.
And I just want to let you know that, like I say, people can disagree without being disagreeable.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, buddy.
Bye now.
Out here.
All right. You know, and I understand what Jim, I do understand some of what he was saying. It used to bother Jim a whole lot when I would raise my voice. But it feels like we're at a place in this country where the other side doesn't get it unless you get mean with them. My God, the exchanges between, and you know, he's on the other side. The exchanges between Arlen Specter, who had to be declared to be a Democrat by Fox yesterday to draw a distinction between him and Fredo Gonzalez. That exchange, the exchanges with Leahy, with Feinstein, with Senator Whitehouse from Rhode Island, who was just damning, and with Senator Schumer. None of whom, you know, I mean, they got stern with him, but I don't think anybody could be qualified as having raised their voice. But it's beginning to dawn on some of these people that you cannot get through to these people unless you really, really put some meat behind your fist. Mother May I doesn't work with this crowd. Polite doesn't work with this crowd. Appeals to reason don't apply with this crowd. You know, I played it for you last night. God Almighty, here's all this serious inquiry with the Attorney General of the United States, who was ordered, the FBI director ordered that he not be left alone with the attorney, the then Attorney General John Ashcroft. Why would the FBI director make such an order? Was he afraid that that Fredo Gonzalez would put a pillow over John Ashcroft's head and smother him in his hospital bed? Is that the honest appraisal of what these monsters are about now? That they're political assassins? That the then White House counsel would do something unethical, illegal, and downright nefarious if he was left alone with the Attorney General of the United States? I'm no John Ashcroft fan, for the love of God. But is this an admission that inside that hateful cabal, they are willing to start, they and have been, not were, are, were, have been willing to kill each other as a means of affecting policy? Am I to understand that this is the government by the people, of the people, and for the people that Abraham Lincoln said would not perish from the earth? This isn't that. This is a Soviet-era government that is willing to purge its own. These are the same kind of people that got the message to go and bump off Trotsky in Mexico City. Jesus! Don't worry about the cheese. Worry about the killers. Worry about the vice president and the vice president's lawyer, David Addington. And worry about the fact that going all the way back to jury fixing, Fredo Gonzalez is willing to do whatever he is told. Politicize the office of the Attorney General? That's a no-brainer. The FBI director had to warn that the president's counsel, Gonzalez at the time, could not be left alone with the Attorney General. Under the most charitable of terms, you reach the conclusion that at least the FBI director was afraid that he might make up something or forge Ashcroft's signature or threaten him or, you know, some means otherwise compel him to agree to something he hadn't agreed to, or lie about it. And in the worst case scenario, that they feared for Ashcroft's life, who was at that moment in extremis. You tell me these people love this country. You can try. I won't believe you. That's it. Up next, Strictly Confidential with Peter Godbold. Stay tuned. Thank you, Agnes, for producing. Thank you to Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk. Everything that happens on the horn happens because of the hard work of Ben Birch. Remember him at whiterosesociety.org. And if you can spare a little bit, help us keep things going here. There's a donate button at headonradionetwork.com and a mailing address, Head On Communications, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, West Virginia 25801. Go to billyshearsmusic.com. Keep up with the Thursday night special, because this is Wednesday. Many thanks to the United Brotherhood of Carpenters, who helped us get this network going, and in so doing are helping us to save the American dream while they build the American dream. And always, 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 Gina, RMR, it's all for you. Shut up!
This is the Quality News Network. The nine-member presidential panel assembled by President Bush to overhaul the VA healthcare system has put forth broad measures to improve the care of wounded veterans. The streamlined system will eliminate red tape, expand coverage for brain injuries and post-traumatic stress disorder, and increase military pay. Soccer fans in Baghdad had their revelry cut dreadfully short today when two suicide car bombs were detonated in the cheering crowd. At least 60 people died. Citizens had flooded the streets after Iraq's national soccer team upset the Korean Republic at the Asian Cup in Kuala Lumpur. It was the first time Iraq had reached the finals. The Iraqis will face either Japan or Saudi Arabia in the final to be held in Jakarta on Sunday. In Afghanistan, Taliban militants have killed one of their 23 South Korean hostages. Police found the man's body earlier today. It had 10 bullet holes in it. The Taliban said they killed the church volunteer because his government was not being honest in talks. The Taliban has threatened to execute the remaining hostages if their demands are not met by tonight. In eastern Afghanistan, a German journalist and his translator have been kidnapped. For the first time, a delegation from the Arab League is visiting Israel. Egyptian and Jordanian foreign ministers are promoting a plan for peace in the region. The plan would fully recognize Israel if all lands captured in the 1967 Middle East War are returned to the Palestinians. The Transportation Security Administration has warned airport personnel to be on the alert for terrorists rehearsing attacks aboard commercial aircraft. Officials say phony bomb components have been seized at airports in San Diego, Milwaukee, Baltimore, and Houston. Democrats on Capitol Hill have passed a contempt of Congress citation against White House Chief of Staff Joshua Bolten and former White House Chief Counsel Harriet Myers. Current White House Counsel Fred Fielding said that top presidential aides are immune from congressional subpoenas. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said the congressional effort was important anyway. At issue is the dismissal of federal prosecutors. Forecasts of more rain are threatening large